This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
Marsha Hines on Generation Next.
Oh, you sound awful.
Oh, shut up. Excuse me.
Excuse you.
I feel much better now.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got man flu. Leave me alone.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Duff Gardens. Oh. Boo, you whore. Now, we're talking about gay conversion therapies. It's something that's massively controversial, and it's reported on every, you know, it crops up every now and again. And recently, we've heard news that Marcus Barkman, the husband of Michelle Barkman, who is a U.S. Republican presidential candidate, and it's come out that the counselling service he owns has been dabbling in Christian counselling, which encourages gay people to not be gay and to be straight instead. And it kind of reminded us of the interview we had with Lyle Shelton from the Australian Christian Lobby a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about gayness and how the science wasn't settled. So we decided to get a proper psychologist on to tell us.
Can't get much more scientific than that, can you?
To tell us, what does the science say? So we're talking now to Paul Martin. He's the principal psychologist from the Centre for Human Potential. Thank you for joining us, Paul.
That's my pleasure. Good evening.
Now, you've described yourself as an ex-gay leader. What is an ex-gay leader?
It's a bit complicated, isn't it? Yeah. Basically, it's when I was in my early 20s, I was born up in a fundamentalist Christian family. And in my early 20s, I decided that my dad came out not in a good way. It was kind of pretty tacky and pretty bad. And I'd been brought up to believe that gay people were disordered and these sort of, you know, mincing predators from hell, basically. And so the last thing I want to do is become gay. And when I realized that I was pretty traumatized. So this ex-gay movement basically offers you a choice. And the choice is you don't have to be gay. So for anyone who's conflicted about their orientation, it sounds really good because they've got books, there's tapes, there's a thing called Living Waters, which sounds a bit like an STI, but actually it's a program that you go through. And I went through one myself, and it's basically trying to and then there's reparative therapy. So, you know, you either become reoriented, or if that doesn't work, which it so didn't for me, you end up being celibate and living your life as a celibate Christian, because homosexuality is a disorder, and it can be either healed, which means that they think it's broken or it's somehow disordered. There are many people out there who are sort of paraded in front of everyone who are married with kids. They used to be gay. Now they're not, like Adam Hood, for example. Mm-hmm. And it's a crazy scene, really.
So it's a religious-based education, is it?
Yes, it is, yeah. It's usually, through prayer therapy, through books and counselling. But unfortunately, because none of it is regulated, none of it is in the mainstream, so therefore it kind of slips under the radar screen of, you know, most of the checks and balances that, as psychologists, for example, we have to go through.
Yeah, when you came out as gay as an adolescent, I suppose, or maybe not came out as gay, but came to the realization that you're gay. Was it sort of did you have to go out seeking reparative therapy, or was it kind of right there in front of you because of your religious family's background?
I think, my mum put me in touch with this guy from, I was in Sydney at the time, he put me in touch with this guy in Melbourne, and who was in Exodus Ministries, and and I went down there, I said, oh my God, finally there's a group of people who understand me, you know, there's a Christian people, and they don't want to be gay either, and there is this, you know, there's even a book, and there's a psychologist called Elizabeth Mobley, who, writes books about reparative therapy, and I thought, wow, finally my conflicts are resolved. And so, just through the church, I got in touch with these people and quite quickly became one of the leaders of this group.
Yeah. What kind of techniques do they use to change your orientation?
Well, quite a few. Some of them want to, you know, butch you up a bit. So I think wearing Miller shirts is good. And they put the Miller shirts on the boys and take them off the lesbians, and try and get the lesbians to wear sun frocks and to walk in a certain way and not to play sport and do girly things. But also there was this, you know, masturbatory reconditioning where you're taught that, you know, I remember one of the tapes that said, you know, every time you fantasize about a guy, just imagine a stop sign. And for me, that was really not convenient because I thought, well, I'm probably quickly going to become attracted to stop signs, which wouldn't be very convenient or comfortable.
No, legal, you'd probably be arrested at every stop sign.
I think I would be. Yeah. Yes, so sexy. But so for me, it was just this, unfortunately, what happens is that with this prayer, with counselling, with books and tapes, and they're still going. You can look up Living Waters on the internet. You know, it's still going to here in Australia, and a lot of people are going through it. And but unfortunately, it doesn't make sense because there's nothing to repair. You know, reparative therapy is like repairing something that's damaged, or healing something that's disordered. And you know, homosexuality is neither of those. It's just obviously, you know, very much part of the rich diversity of humans since we've started.
So. When I think about reparative therapy, I read a lot about it, and I tend to associate it with American evangelical organisations. Yeah. But it exists in Australia.
It's alive and well in Australia, and it's much more popular than you'd think.
Is it regulated? Is there some sort of...
That's one of the problems. Like, what they'll do is they'll train up these counsellors in these programs, and these are well-meaning people. You know, these are not people who have a terrible, you know, kind of motivation to torment people. Unfortunately, that's the end result, but they don't actually mean that, and they feel that they're making a difference, even though they're not. So, yeah, it's alive and well in this country, even though it's more kind of prominent in the United States.
Well, we're going to go for a quick break, Paul. We're speaking to Paul Martin from the Centre for Human Potential. We'll come back very shortly. Have a little bit more of a chat about your work as an LGBT psychologist.
No worries.
Hang on. We're Generation Next, I think, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's right. Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Stick around. Don't forget, we are compiling the big gay wedding. 0427JOY949 is the SMS number. If you want to contribute, we'd love to have your little bips and bobs in our wedding.
Yep.
Generation Next. Love it.
You're listening to Generation Next, Joy 94.9. Thorpey says it's fully sick.
Thorpey does say it's fully sick. You're with Kyle and Jacob here for Generation Next. It is 18 minutes to 8 right now. Paul Martin is still on the phone with us. Thanks for hanging around, Paul. Now, a bit of a background if you've just joined us. Paul is an ex gay leader. And we've quickly discovered that is because you went to gay conversion therapy. We want to find a little bit more about what the program was like, because how long did it go for, Paul?
It goes for as long as it takes. So for some people, that can be many years. You know, there's different therapy. And what happens is that almost everybody would wake up failing to change the same way they went to sleep. So it's a bit like a straight person. If you get a straight football player guy and you put him through counselling, prayer, group support, reading books and tapes, he's not going to want to have sex with a bloke. Mm. It doesn't make sense. Just as for you or I, having sex with a woman just is not on the cards.
I'm interested in gay reparative therapy theories because I find it interesting. There seems to be two schools of thought. The first is that you can absolutely change somebody's orientation and completely make them go from being straight to make them from, you know, being gay to being straight, like that. And the other theory is that you can't really change somebody's innate desires, but you can make them suppress them, and you can make them change the behavior. It's a bit like you can teach somebody to write left-handed, but that doesn't mean that they're left-handed. They're always going to be right-handed.
Yeah, exactly. So with the second one, basically it means that you basically try and hold the ball underwater, so to speak. So basically it means that you just don't have sex, so you become celibate. But what happens is that when you put, you hold a ball underwater for long enough, it comes out and whacks you in the head, which is exactly what seemed to happen with the guys that we were working with back then and many, many clients that I've had ever since, which is where you try and suppress sexuality, and you become obsessed by it. And these guys we're working with would often end up, and these are Christian guys who, if they weren't in these programs, probably been in, you know, a monogamous long-term relationship. But because of this thing where it was evil and sinful and a disorder, therefore, they try not to have sex, but of course they end up at toilet blocks and beats and, you know, other sorts of beats and all sorts of places, and then feel terrible because they think, oh my God, I'm meant to be a Christian, I'm so moral, and, you know, I want to do the right thing, and end up in toilet blocks, you know, half the week. Yeah. And now the other one, which is you can change your orientation, is based on the theory that same-sex attraction occurs because when you're a little kid, you don't have enough love from the parent of the same sex. So when you're an adolescent, you eroticize that love need, and you want to have sex with people of the same sex to try and get that love need met. So what you do is you end up having, you know, this is part of the therapy, you have deep, intimate relationships with people of the same sex that are non-sexual. Although Wendy, my co-leader, said that she was told to suck the nipples of women as a way of trying to heal her disorder.
Oh, wow.
I felt really ripped off because we weren't asked to suck anything. I think it was only for the women. With all of the counselling and prayer therapy and whatever else, you're meant to gradually change over time to what they say God, you know, what God's intention is for you in your life.
Yeah. I want to play a grab now of Lyle Shelton. It's an interview that we had a couple of weeks ago. Lyle Shelton is the Chief of Staff of the Australian Christian Lobby, and I was basically talking about gay marriage and the fact that that being gay is something innate in people, and you can't change it, and you damage people if you try to change it. And this is my preamble and Lyle Shelton's response. A credible psychiatric organisation in Australia has stated that sexual orientation is natural and not something that can be prayed away or changed.
Well, I don't agree that the research, is settled on that. There's certainly been a lot of activism in research circles which have, you know, produced certain results. But, I know the American Psychological Association changed its position on homosexuality because of political activism, not because of any research. So, you know, I have some concerns there. I also know that there's many people who have lived the gay and lesbian lifestyle who now do not. So it is possible to change.
So as somebody who has, as Lyle says, lived the gay lifestyle and changed and then changed again, what do you say? How do you respond to him, basically? I don't think we've lost him.
Particularly, I love the term lifestyle. It's like my mother when she talks about me, she says, "Oh, about your lifestyle," and I'm like, "Yeah, I like to go to Noosa, you know, I like to go to cafes, etc." But actually, it's my orientation. So the word lifestyle itself is crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's a bit like your, I can't remember your persuasion or whatever else. It doesn't make sense. But the other thing is that what he's saying about this is always, you know, they've always got an answer, these people. And he's saying the American Psychological Society or Association is heavily influenced by political rather than scientific kind of forces. I'd love him to speak to the chair of this, the American Psychological Association, and talk to him about that, because they did one of the world's most kind of comprehensive scientific analysis of the data, this huge meta-analysis, and came out with this, and they, you know, really analysed the research, and their conclusion was very clear that there is no evidence whatsoever to suggest that sexual orientation can change from either straight to gay or gay to straight. So the only people I think that can possibly have, they're mainly gay and then they end up in a marriage and it can work, are the people that are somewhere along the spectrum of bisexuality. And we're, you know, sexuality isn't just, you know, gay, straight, whatever. There's a whole range of different variations with sexuality. And one of them is bisexuality. And so for some bisexual people who have never really been that connected to the opposite sex and then, have sex and they think, oh, actually, I really enjoy this and I can connect with someone of the opposite sex, that's great for them. I mean, a choice is a choice, and that's what they want to do. But for those like myself, who's as gay as I don't know what, it's basically it's like a group of people who are white trying to become black.
Yeah, I wish that I had pursued that line of questioning, because it appeared to me that he was saying that gayness is a disorder, and it was political activism that resulted in the American Psychological Association.
That's always their line, unfortunately, and unfortunately, that's not an intellectual argument based on data. If you look at all of the good quality research over the years, there's so much research to show that, you know, it's basically, you know, if you look at brain activity of straight women and gay men, according to certain pheromones, it's exactly the same. Same with lesbian women and straight men. You know, it's very much hardwired into our brains to respond in a sexual, emotional, and affectionate way to people of the same sex. And there's nothing you can do about it. So it's a completely futile kind of waste of time for these people to be arguing these things. And unfortunately, one of my clients today, who's in one of these groups, he said, you know, I've spent the last 30 years in these ex-gay programs, and he said, I'm so angry because it took the best years of my life, and it was all based on a lie. And people in these groups didn't understand that at the time, but he said that people are now starting to wake up to the fact that it is actually a lie.
Yeah. Is it illegal to offer reparative therapy in Australia? I mean, you said before that it's not regulated at all. I suppose it's very difficult in that case to say what's legal and what's not. I mean, it tears me apart, really, thinking about, young gay people going to these unqualified organisations and asking for help and being told you're damaged and you're broken and you need to fix yourself.
Absolutely. It's just so devastating. I've worked in maximum security prisons for a number of years ago, and I would say that apart from those populations that I worked with in prisons, I've never seen more damaged people than those who have come out of ex-gay programs. Now, I myself came out of one, and I did my own healing, and I got out of it, and I'm fine. I'm very strong. A lot of people do, but there are many people who don't. And it's just really, I agree with you. Like, I feel the same thing. It just rips me apart as well, knowing the many innocent, vulnerable young people out there who are very drawn into this thing. You remember with Adam Hood, and there was that whole seminar series that he was doing in Australia that was cancelled. And I was the guy that kind of started that whole process of getting him cancelled. But he's very persuasive. And a lot of these people, Guy from Living Waters, a lovely man and very persuasive. So if you listen to these people, they're very genuine, and it sounds like they've got the evidence there. And it's just so sad because I think, you know, at some point down the track, they're going to realise that they're all wrong. And the amount of damage they've caused to innocent people's lives is just horrendous.
Is there much happening out there to try and combat it, I suppose, in side of the government, I suppose, in terms of investigating it? Because they're not necessarily always qualified, and they might have psychologists and people who actually have the qualifications but are not teaching the right thing.
Yeah, look, if you were a psychologist in Australia and it came to the attention of the Australian Psychological Society that you were practicing reparative therapy, you'd probably be disciplined, I would suggest, because it's not an evidence-based or research-based intervention. And it doesn't make sense because, again, if you're white, you're trying to become black. But what happens is that these church groups use counsellors, and they, you know, anyone can be a counsellor and call themselves a counsellor and go through some sort of basic program, but they don't understand, and this is one of the things that I'm doing at the moment is, you know, in terms of what can be done about it. There's certainly ex-gay watch on Facebook and groups like that, but I'm certainly very vocal about it, so I write to the media a lot. But also what I'm finding is a lot of these fundamentalist Christian groups, there's this small movement in there that's growing all the time of fundamentalist Christians who are starting to question the validity and interpretation of theology that's led them to, you know, refer people to these organisations. So I was flying to Auckland recently. I go to Sydney and Melbourne and speak to groups of Christians. There's another guy, Anthony Ben Brown, and Ben Gresham, also from Sydney, and these people are also very actively out there trying to teach as many people as possible the dangers of these sorts of programs.
Paul Martin, thank you so much for joining us. Just to clear up, gayness isn't a disorder, and it's not something that you can change about yourself, it does real damage to real people, whether or not the motivations behind wanting to change people's sexuality are placed in a good place, I suppose. It still does the same amount of damage. Paul Martin, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my absolute pleasure.
Hey, one last thing, Paul. How do we find out more about you? I suppose on Facebook there's a great page.
Yeah. It's basically Paul Martin, LGBTI psychologist. So Paul Martin, LGBTI psychologist. And, there's also Centre for Human Potential. You can look that up on the internet as well. We're very specialised in the area of diversity, which has a huge emphasis on the gay and lesbian community. I'm also down there in Canberra talking to parliamentarians about trying to get some same-sex marriage rights for us. So it's all happening.
Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure.
Cheers. Have a great night.
Thank you.
You're on Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Kyle and Jacob with you. Still compiling this big gay wedding list. We might carry it over next week, I think.
I think
Give people a week to think about it. At 8:06, we'll be back very shortly to say goodbye and to have a quick wrap-up, maybe a little bit of gay school as well. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games, and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's Play School.
Hello there.
Hi, Jacob.
Hello there, boys and girls.
How are you?
Now, look, in this week's gay school, we're looking at the Australian Christian Lobby. They've been absolutely hammering out the stupidity
all week. Demonising.
Demonising. They call us Nazis and then they criticise us for demonising them. Anyway, today, the Australian Christian Lobby, they've announced that they're pulling out of a debate in Tasmania about same-sex marriage. It's going to be against three supporters of same-sex marriage. It was going to be Jim Wallace and two other anti-equality campaigners. And they decided to pull out over the claims that the gay marriage side is demonising them, basically. And it comes a couple of days after this Laurie Rudd thing. Laurie Rudd is the sister of Kevin Rudd, and she said that that you know the gay global gay Gestapo is brainwashing people, and obviously our community got up on our hackles. I think is the phrase.
Never heard of that, but
pointed out that that's offensive. For two reasons, it's offensive to the gay community and to
the
Jewish community, really, you know, to belittle their experience like that. So obviously, you know, we weren't too happy about that. And the Australian Christian Lobby came to the defence of Laurie Rudd against, you know, us demonising her.
Just some of the words that she used, like saying they were fed propaganda. She must have just watched a documentary on Hitler, I think, before and then come out and said something.
Exactly. I call them the global gay Gestapo, the lobbying movement that's brainwashing people, particularly the young in the community, that homosexuality is an optional extra in life. And rather than saying, look, we don't agree with Laurie Rudd's you know, extreme views there, where we think, you know, it's good that she's supporting traditional marriage or whatever, we don't agree, they absolutely came to her defence and they criticised the gay community for being, you know, hateful, basically, which I think is a bit rich, given that the accusation involved was that we're Nazis, which is a bit ridiculous, I think. So they've pulled out of a debate.
Absolutely. This is wrapping up because coming up next, we do have, of course, the roundup with Michael, Anastasia and Ali. They're coming up very shortly. But a little bit more in gay school.
A little bit more.
I'm sure they're going to cover it because we spoke on last Thursday night. We're on that show.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. I'm sorry. we chatted a bit about it because, of course, she's in a position of power, isn't she?
Not really.
Well, she's has a voice.
A matter of... Yeah, that's the thing that really bothered me. As soon as it happened, all these gay newspapers were saying, oh, she must apologise and she has to track down on the thing. And the Jewish community was angry. I think, you know, let her have her stupid opinions, especially given that she was saying she was threatening to leave the Labour Party in case it changed its official policy on marriage. And I'm thinking, let her leave the Labour Party. No big loss to the Labour Party.
It's everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Some opinions are just wrong.
I hate that, actually. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Yes, but some opinions are based on fact and reason, and some are based on paranoia and basically dumb ideas, and that's Laurie Rudd. So, yes.
Get on your Loz. Of course, Loz is welcome to come into Joy any time to back her argument if she would like to. The door is always open, 225 Bourke Street, Melbourne. Come in, Loz. We're here for you all the time.
Yeah.
Do your hair.
So that just annoyed me, and I'm constantly annoyed at the Australian Christian lobby because to me they're not Christian at all. They have no kindness and compassion and caring for people.
Salvation Army, Christian.
They're
very Christian.
They have a few anti-gay policies, but not anything like the Australian Christian lobby.
Now, Jules. Oh, Julia.
Jill.
She was going out for dinner. Now, there's something's passed that's making her do it at a certain time.
Yeah, okay. So, this is the Get Up campaign. People raised $31,000. I've chipped in $20 of my own money. I did because, you know, I think it's basically unfair that I should have to chip in my own money so that the Prime Minister could do her own job, basically.
No, that's okay.
But, yeah, so, you know, the $31,000 they raised for three gay couples to have dinner with Julia Gillard at the Lodge. And I think they set a time limit on, you know, when the government was going to set the time. I think it was like 12 to 16 days or something. That time's passed.
Yep.
So the call is on to sort of, you know, set the date, basically. Set the date. Because last year they had a meeting with Tony Abbott and it took him something like a year or something to sort it out.
He didn't end up doing it, did he?
I think he did end up doing
tennis.
It.
He was going to play tennis.
I think it was surfing.
Surfing.
He was going to do surfing with an asylum seeker.
Don't need to see him in his speedos again.
Oh,
usually
no,
I wouldn't mind, but tones. No. This has been Generation Next. We're running over time. The roundup's sitting there waiting. They're getting anxious. They're a bit toey. You can get onto us during the week, though, on Twitter.
Twitter.com/GenXJoy949.
Or you can jump on joy.org.au. Our blog's on there. Our websites are on there. Everything's on there. So jump on there and grab it. This has been Generation Next. Thanks for having us. Next week, we'll have a full list. We'll work on it during the week for what our big gay wedding is going to be all about.
Mm.
Keep us up to date during the week. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back next week at 7 o'clock. Oh, 8 o'clock. 7 o'clock on a Monday evening. Thanks for joining us. Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.